Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist. Join me as I seek out the small incremental changes being applied in other industries that we can learn from and that can be applied in healthcare. Can these changes bring immediate value, but also add up to the big improvements and revolution we need in healthcare? Come along with me to explore the possibilities. My innovative guests from around the globe have used small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. And today, I'm delighted to be joined by an old friend, Kulmeet Singh. He is the Chief Executive Officer for Twistle. Kulmeet, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I'm intrigued by your podcast. I heard a couple of them recently, and thank you for giving me a chance to share my thoughts.
Well, so I'm excited about this, both about the technology and some of the journey that you got to for Twistle. And in fact, this is going to be a two-parter because I think there's a whole clinical area we're going to explore, or at least I'm going to explore with you know, the clinical resources you have and your chief medical officer. But today, I wanted to sort of tease out a little bit about the story and how you arrived here. And you and I both share this passion around speech and speech recognition and, you know, that long journey. It was 2 years away for 10 years and it felt like it was still 2 years away. But we really have reached that sort of, you know, inflection point. And I know that's been critical in terms of your journey to this point of Twistle. Tell us a little bit about that, if you would.
Absolutely. So, you know, entrepreneurs can become prisoners of their successes. My first company, which started with the question that why in the world of speech recognition are people typing up physician dictation? And if you recall, back when we started this in 99, it was to the tune of $15 billion being spent on that. Well, that question led to a venture that 5 or 6 years later solved the problem. And during that journey, what we discovered was that as physicians document patient encounters, there are patterns in those in that documentation. And the narrower you make the context, the more predictable the pattern becomes. So, for instance, radiology, for instance, the patterns are extremely predictable, whereas maybe in something like psychology or psychiatry or just therapy, it might be less predictable because you don't know what the patient might say or what the physician might say. And so as we solved that problem, there were two things we did. We built a platform that would capture physician dictation, pass it through speech recognition and natural language processing, and then generate a draft for the typist to edit. And over time, as the typist would make their edits, those edits would make the machine learning, the NLP, smarter and more accurate over time, and the speech, that entire process would become more efficient. And we were able to go from where one typist would serve 4 docs, could serve, you know, 8 or 10 docs, and thus changing the economics. And so that venture eventually became what is Nuance. And of course, Nuance was a very successful story. I was a part of that. I was, you know, glad to be a part of that. And I think that's where we met. And when I left Nuance in 2010-ish, we thought about, we got the band back together again. And I was fortunate to be joined by people smarter than me, Harjinder Sandhu, who was the one of my co-founders in Twistle, and now actually a founder of a company that's doing auto-scribing, and then Henry Chue and Jacob Ryder. What we basically understood is that in the patient-physician conversation, the patterns are also predictable. And as the conversation, as we believed back in 2011-ish, that the conversations are going to become more and more asynchronous. And what do I mean by that? That it's not going to necessarily, the patient's conversation with their care team will not always be while they are in their presence, either in the clinic or in the hospital. A lot of it's going to happen out, a lot of care is going to happen outside of the in-person visit. And that interaction, while it could happen through video visits, and I know there are a lot of companies doing that, we essentially believed And we felt that it's going to happen through text to messaging, chat, text messaging. And so what we felt, and we still believe, and it's being, I mean, our success has validated that, is that the narrower you make the context, the more predictable that conversation can get. And so if you are focused in on a post kidney transplant conversation, it is extremely predictable, or post electrophysiology or pre, the context is so narrow that you can almost, you know, predict what the conversation is. And so wherever the patterns are so predictable, automation is a very effective technology solution. And so that's what we started working on. We didn't really get started in earnest until 2013-14, and because we were building for the large health system, that was another learning from my first company. First-time entrepreneurs in healthcare will often build a solution for the medical group or for a clinic down the road, where the sale is much easier, but the product has to go through a lot of iteration to be able to sell to the local health system. And so we spent a lot of time up front, very clear that, you know, it's the health systems that we needed to sell to get any meaningful patient volume. And so it took us a while to build a product, a platform to address the large health system.
So I want to highlight that, because that's, to me, is an interesting incremental point here, which is, you know, that learning point, which is, yeah, you can sell quicker and easier to small groups, but you end up sort of in the weeds and designing what is essentially custom systems. And, you know, the fact that you say that's really intriguing to me, because now I think back, that's absolutely been some of the problems for companies that I've seen and, you know, been part of, is that you end up with this very narrow focus and you've got to build the broader picture. So I think that's a great point.
It was a painful journey in my first company. I would say it added 2 years to our life just to develop to change the product for what was good for a clinic to what would be good for a large health system or an IDN.
I'd say took away 2 years, but either way. So moving forward, so tell us a little bit about Twistle and what it is. And in particular, you know, I find the story of Genesis always, you know, relevant to this.
So, I mean, when you get to my age, as I did in the second company, my parents were aging, healthcare, you know, when you're young, you never get sick and you don't think about things personally. And now I could see it, that I had to take care of my parents and I had kids and I could see that you'd get so much attention when you were in the hospital or even in the clinic, and then you'd go home and it would be an eerie silence, in that you would be totally disconnected. You'd be on your own, and you would have gone from a experience where someone was checking up on you frequently, and now there was no one checking up on you. And so that's when we realized, and oftentimes that's where questions arise. What do I do? You know, I tell a story about that happened recently with my third child, where my wife, we came home after she was born and she started cramping, and it was, you know, and there was no one checking in. It was an easy conversation that would have happened if we had had some kind of a tool to and it could have all been automated. And of course, I'm fortunate that I come from a physician family that we solved that, but there's so many mothers who go through that. So I had similar occurrences back in 2012, 11, 12, and that was part of the founding stories behind Twistle.
And so what is Twistle? What exactly is this solution that you're rolling out today?
So we built, my colleague, who's my chief technology officer and probably the architect for almost all of the code that is in Twistle today, Dave Ross, who spent a life before this at a large academic medical center stitching together scheduling systems and EMRs and pop health systems, and had the scars of that. And so what Dave basically decided that, look, we need to build, we can't anticipate all the ways and a platform could be used to automate conversations. Sure, we know certain areas where the patterns exist, like pre and post surgery and heart failure and COPD, and but there are so many areas where this opportunity, like this example I just gave you, cramping for a mother when she's gone home, right? And so we and this was also thanks to my first company, where we realized that we don't want to over-engineer the product for a bunch of narrow use cases and then have to spend so much engineering time to change the platform. So what we did consciously was that we wanted to build a platform that would automate conversations, and we made no prejudgment on what those conversations might be. And we wanted our partners, our clients, our customers to be able to build those conversations also. This is what I think a fundamental definition of being a platform is: can others innovate on your technology without your involvement or with minimal involvement from you? And so what we built was this tool that allows you to create, to recognize a pattern and to pre-program a pattern, if you will, to have a conversation between any two people. And frankly, in our case, it could, it's not by accident that we're not med something or health something or well something. One of the design principles we had is the best way to serve healthcare is not to over-engineer the product for healthcare. And it sounds kind of counterintuitive, but it actually is very true. I mean, this is the reason iPads are so successful. They were never designed for healthcare. And whereas tablets that were over-engineered for healthcare actually have very minimal usage. And so what we've done is, by creating a platform like this, and we seeded it with certain conversations in surgery, in COPD, in some chronic diseases, where we knew that there was a demand. But what has happened over the last several years is our clients, our customers, our partners are building conversation patterns that we had never imagined for, obscure things. Let me give you an example of one that is obvious that, after a colorectal surgery, the pattern is often about checking in about dehydration, checking in about the stoma output, and reminding patients about, drinking enough fluids. And in that conversation that our platform will have, through chat, the other thing we said is we're going to be agnostic to the endpoint. We didn't want to create an app alone because we understand app adoption is so hard. So we just use text messaging. We're happy to deliver the payload through WhatsApp. Recently, we were asked to deliver it through WeChat, and we're agnostic to the endpoint. And, the other thing we were very conscious of is integrating in with the existing healthcare IT ecosystem. And that's not just the EMR, that's devices, that's pop health systems. And so because we know that the conversations can be triggered by data rather than someone having to order a conversation in the EHR. And so the conversation, the patient gets a message after they've gone home. Well, you're home and you're probably doing well, but have you drunk 6 to 8 glasses of water? And, the patient says no. Then, maybe we send them a nudge, like a video, a personalized video from their own physician that, you should drink water. And we're also collecting data now. By the way, there are sensors in stomas where you can collect data automatically. What is the output of your stoma? Either we can ask them or collect it from us and correlate that with that information to understand, like, well, this patient might be getting dehydrated, and then send an alert to a home health agency or to the physician. It's often not to the physician, it's to a nurse navigator who can then act upon that data. So this is where we have a library of these, a few hundred of these pathways, that's the known stuff. But what is exciting is when our partners, our customers, build patterns that we had never imagined. And I'll share an example with you. One of our health systems, the nursing team there that's using us for surgery, is also planning for emergencies around special pathogens. And they needed a tool that would check in not with the patients, but with the caregivers on their health should Ebola break out or something untoward like that happen. They just went in and built a pattern in TWSL. And fortunately, I hope this pathway never gets used, but it has a conversation with the care team. This is a first tier one special pathogen site. And they're like 50 members or 60 members of the care team. Should there be an emergency, there needs to be something that checks in on their wellness. And this, they will just trigger this. They used it in, they did a test run of this. They do it frequently to keep themselves on their toes in the event of an emergency. And it was just checking in if the care members of the care team had any kind of hemorrhagic fever or those kinds of things, and collect data on their wellness. What they were doing without TWSL was literally someone had to call people, and it was a spreadsheet and a phone call that we were replacing.
The old telephone tree, as they used to call it. For those of you just joining, I'm Dr. Nick, the incrementalist, and today I'm talking to Kulmeet Singh. He is the chief executive officer for TWSL. We were just talking about the platform. I know a much sometimes overused principle, but I think very important in this particular instance. And I think the agnostic nature of this that perhaps comes, you know, I'm intrigued to understand. So you talk about the co-founder that you had as part of this, Dave Ross, I think.
That's correct.
So, you know, his experience in an academic center and tying all of this together, was that a key aspect to this? Was it really the understanding that he had of pulling all of this together that allowed you to build this foundation?
I think it's one of our most significant differentiators and advantages that we've had as we've gone to serve large health systems. You know, Dave, had lived the pain of integration. And so right from day one, and it wasn't just the easy stuff, HL7 and Smart on Fire, but I was thinking through the painful integrations that have to happen with devices. Because, for instance, we are integrated in with a CPAP machine. Doing that integration took us a week at most, just because of how the tool, the APIs, the application programming interfaces had been designed. That as these devices are getting smarter, CPAP machines historically, in fact, when we started, were not smart. And to his credit, when they became smart, so if I was wearing a CPAP machine last night, this morning, I might have gotten a message from my sleep doctor's avatar, a text message on iMessage that's saying, Kulmeet, great job on wearing your CPAP machine. But we noticed you only wore it for 4 hours. How do we know that? Because we're getting telemetry from the device, right? And you ordered a new pathway a few days ago on TWSL. That might be pinching your nose. Here's a video on how you might adjust the nose, adjust the mask. And that whole conversation happens because we're able to get telemetry from the device, not just data from the EHR. And so the way in our ideal use case, someone would not be triggering these conversations. The minute we see something happen on the problem list, like we see heart failure appear on the problem list, it should trigger the heart failure pack conversation with the patient. Now, an interesting thing I'll tell you, some of our clients, even though we're designed that way, they're like, no, we want to order the pathway. And I'm like, why won't you just let us order it automatically? We can see the problem list. They're like, well, we don't trust the problem list. And we're like, really? You spent $1 billion or hundreds of millions of dollars on Epic or Cerner, and you don't trust the data in your EHR? I mean, that's where we are today. Maybe in a year or so, they will trust it, right? And then we can automatically trigger conversations.
Yeah, I think you're way too hopeful when you say a year or so that we trust the data, unfortunately. And, you know, it's the problem with problem lists and all of the contributors is that's wow, that's like five shows right there. But so I think, you know, central to this and, you know, one of the things that you hear repeatedly in the industry is this portalitis and, you know, gosh, not yet another X. And the other thing that I found really interesting and important in this is that ability to use anything. You just don't care. I mean, it's almost powered by TWSL in the instance of whoever uses it. The fact that that's what's going on behind the scenes is can be transparent from your perspective.
Yeah, we're agnostic to that, right? In our ideal use case, we're triggered from an upstream system, Salesforce, a CRM system, an EHR, a device, a pop health system, and the conversation happens where the patient lives. Now, we understand, at least in the US, HIPAA is implicated, and we need to be very conscious of the HIPAA issues. And so, but even there, we let our clients dictate their security posture. So we have clients who are very, very prescriptive about that. And they're like, look, we only want the conversation to happen through our app on, you know, that they've built. And so in those use cases, we are triggered from some third-party system, and the conversation's happening in that health system's own branded app, and we're just the middleware doing the hard work of automating the conversation back and forth. Elsewhere, we have clients that are like, look, no, we're happy using text messaging or using, we have very well-designed mobile apps, but at the end of the day, our apps are just messaging apps. We felt that we don't want the patient to have a learning curve at all. And if patients have smartphones, what they understand how to use, other than making a phone call, is using text messaging. And right. So that's essentially we have as a secure mobile app. So that agnostic nature has allowed us to, have very high adoption. Our adoption rates with patients are well over 85% because we meet the patient where they are at and where they're comfortable, not requiring them to, adopt a portal or adopt an app or something like that.
So the other thing that I find intriguing about this is the ease of creation. So you've got all of these people. I mean, for me, it's the WordPress of care automation that allows anybody and everybody to essentially create this. I could almost see patients doing this. I don't know if you've got that yet, but I could see that happening.
First of all, I love that. I'm going to use that if with your permission.
Of course.
WordPress with care automation. I think my marketing guys would be very happy. Absolutely. We have consumers doing this directly, not even patients. We have consumers who are now kicking off their own pathways. They don't even need the care team or to start the conversation. They come, obviously we're doing this in very narrow use cases because our focus, our clients, our primary focus is the large IDN. And so that remains the case for us. The vast majority of our conversations are with the provider as a partner. But in some narrow use cases, we have tested out situations where consumers who are not yet patients are having conversations.
Okay. So unfortunately, as usual, we're almost out of time. Parting thoughts in terms of where this will go. What do you see happening?
I think we're seeing ourselves, and the last comment you made about, reaching consumers. So population health management is where we're headed. And we see a future where, sure, in the US, we are working with large healthcare providers, but in sub-Saharan Africa or India or in places where they don't have a rheumatologist and they don't have, specialists on hand, we can automate the conversation, at least be a meaningful guide when a patient is looking for which way to turn in the next step in their care journey. That's sort of our aspiration. And we've done something like that already for HIV patients we won a USAID contest and it was like this is where we're going. And so my team, I have a great team at Twistle, everyone who cares deeply about healthcare, it was a strong motivation for them. So that's sort of where we aspire to be.
Yeah, you hit the right note for me. I love that sort of, the ability to allow broader access through the use of technology and, push out information and capacity. Very exciting. Just really appreciate you taking the time. It's always a pleasure to catch up. Kulmeet, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk to your audience.
Thanks for joining me today. Do you have any better ideas, or have you found a small incremental change that's brought about a big improvement in your world? Let's continue the conversation on our hashtag, The Incrementalist, or share with me at DrNick1 on Twitter. You can find more information about the show on our program page at healthcarenowradio.com. And tune in next time to hear my discussions with leaders and innovators from around the globe who've revolutionized their space by using small incremental improvements to achieve their moonshot. I'm Dr. Nick, the Incrementalist, and I'm starting a revolution through evolution.